This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. We've got chapter 26, The Star Seeds of Earth, on this show. Coming up on this episode. Alibi Jones, taken charge of the Hornet's Nest, forced into facing up to his growing responsibilities as the leader of the Hornet's Nest. Space station, a base built inside of a planetoid that they've been hollowing out. Situated in an asteroid belt of considerable size in a star system on the Depot Fringe. Just beyond the reach of Earth's government, the Solar Alliance. Or so they thought. One of the problems facing Alibi Jones is the declaration by the Solar Alliance that they are expanding and are annexing the Depot Fringe, including the Hornet's Nest. Another problem, as Alibi Jones sees it, is that his usually level-headed Aunt Anita seems to have fallen for the new supposed governor of the Depot Fringe, the supposedly former godfather of the Depot Fringe, Billy Gentry. Alibi isn't sure if he can even trust his aunt anymore. There are also a lot more people arriving lately to stay at the Hornet's Nest, to get away from the now repressive Solar Alliance as they ally themselves with the Greater Ta, who are kind of lords of order. So with these and more problems weighing on him, Alibi Jones has called a meeting to put some things into place which he doesn't necessarily like, but now sees a need for a hierarchy, titles, job descriptions. So we're going to join Alibi and his crew in the conference room of the Hornet's Nest as we get into Chapter 26 of The Star Seeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Got to figure out who's in charge of what, you know? A little bit of housekeeping for Alibi Jones on this episode. Get a glimpse of the inner workings of the Hornet's Nest. And maybe, just maybe, Alibi Jones is up to more than he's letting on. Nice big long chapter on the way on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. As far as book news goes, I don't really have a ton of book news, but I do have video news. This Tuesday night, February 1st, at 8 p.m. and 8:30 p.m., Matt Adams and I will be releasing two new episodes, a new video on each of our channels, chronicling a joint exploration we undertook in Vermont this past fall. On the first episode, on Matt Adams' Nessie channel, Northeast's Historical Stone Sites Investigations and Explorations, at 8 p.m., Matt and I explore a beautiful, rarely seen stone chamber. Right after, at 8:30 p.m., on my channel, Mike Luoma's Ancient Stone Mysteries and More, I'll chronicle our second half of the day as we explore an amazing field of Manitou Hasanash, or cairns. Again, that's this coming Tuesday night, February 1st, the Lunar New Year, at 8 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. From Matt Adams of Nessie, and me, Mike Luoma. It's also the first time you'll see me in a video. We even have a hashtag, VTStoneSiteTeamUp1. Which I thought was kind of cool. So that's the only news I really have, which is kind of a lot, but not really book news and not really science fiction related, so I hope you'll forgive me if I've annoyed you there. want to remind you that I'd love your support as far as this podcast goes. If you could stop by Patreon, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, you can become a member for $2, $5, or $10 a month and help support my science fiction efforts and this podcast. Every bit helps. And a big thank you to those who are patrons now. They get some extras that, well, I think patrons deserve for that kind of support. They're getting chapters of the new Alibi Jones novel as they're written. So they get to hear it in its kind of raw form, but, you know, as it's coming into being, basically. There's also a special timeline and a story web that people who are members have access to at Archivos. So there's that as well. So again, to become a patron, head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and look for the link to Patreon. And again, the levels are $2, $5, or $10 a month. We will check out Chapter 26 of The Star Seeds of Earth next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The Flesh Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. 200 miles below the surface of the Earth, at the terminus of a series of long-sealed caverns and interconnected shines, under the shadow of the eternally bleeding eye, there is a crippled wreck of a man writing tales. Stories of a dimension engulfed in madness. He is writing them of you. Find them all at fleshpulp.com or search for it on iTunes.
Now here's Chapter 26 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Structure. I'm not a big fan of structure. Suppose that's why I'm not a fan of the Greater Ta. They are big fans of structure. Order. Discipline and all. So I usually just say no to structure. Except when, paradoxically, greater structure gives me greater freedom. Alibi looked at the 8 people gathered in the main Hornet's Nest conference room. 5 of them were now his old friends. Emily Brown, his business manager, Kit, new captain of the A.D. Foster, Krish, Dr. Krishnavurti, family friend and brilliant scientist, Hector Ruiz, captain of the Libra Campista and owner of that ship and the Libra Campista de Dos, and Bob Bond, captain of the latter. The other 3 were relative newcomers. Gardner Davison had risen quickly through the ranks of the construction workers who had gravitated to the nest early on, as word of work spread. Grizzly Yakamoto had grown to be trusted by Alibi and Emily with security. And Laurel Eden, captain of the Goldenrod, was on the base currently looking to hire a new crew for her ship. Laurel Eden was a bit of a gamble, Alibi admitted to himself. He was mostly going on instinct and allowing her into his inner circle. But she had been kind to him when she didn't have to be, even a little flirtatious. Not that he thought she was interested in him for a deeper relationship. Though the idea she might be interested had crossed his mind, he couldn't lie. An older woman. That's not why she's here. Thank you all for coming, Alibi said. For those of you who don't know why we're here, let me state it plainly. I wanted to gather some people I trust together to lead the government of this place we're all calling home. Emily and Krish smiled. Davison and Yakamoto both looked genuinely surprised and exchanged stunned glances. Hector grinned, but Bob Bond remained as emotionless as ever. Kit looked like Kit. Laurel frowned. However, the usually level-headed and always perceptive Ms. Brown Alibi paused and nodded to Emily, informs me that to form a government here, while the Solar Alliance is claiming to exercise governance over us, would be an act of treason and secession. So we're going to wait on that. The newcomers appeared relieved. What we are going to do is give ourselves some structure, create a little bit of a hierarchy, kind of a chain of command, except I hate the words chain and command, which just leaves of, and that doesn't really describe anything. All eight looked puzzled and confused. Sorry, Alibi said. I digress. We're creating a command/management structure. We need backups and second-in-commands, staffs and such. You're all here today because I think you can be a part of that initial structure. Laurel Eden stood up. I'm sorry, she said, but no. She shook her head and looked Alibi in the eyes with a pained expression in hers. I don't do organizations, clubs, governments. I'm not a big people person. Or a joiner. That's okay, Alibi said. You don't... Thanks, she said, interrupting. I appreciate you including me. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Anyway. But thanks. Thank you. She left the table, walking toward the door and out of the room as quickly as she could without running. Can't say as I blame her. Wish I could run out too. Not it. Anyone else want out? Alibi said. He glanced around the table and liked what he saw, eyes looking back, curious as to what he was planning. No one else made a move for the door. Good, he said, and thank you. He looked at the door. I mean, I get that, too. There's a part of me wants to run right out after her, he smiled. Davison, Krish, Ruiz, and Yakamoto nodded. Bob remained poker-faced as usual, and there was no reading Kit's Dakor expression under his fur. Emily glared back at him and mouthed the words, run right out after her. Alibi couldn't hear her, but read her lips easily enough. Ms. Shapely Butt, she mouthed. Responsibility isn't for everyone, Alibi said, staring back at Emily a little longer than necessary. And I'm not the biggest fan of it myself, is all I'm saying. But circumstances have led me to running this place, and I take that seriously. I hope so, Emily said, this time out loud. I think everyone here knows each other, though Ms. Davison and Mr. Yakamoto, as the newest members of this kind of already existing informal core group, please introduce yourselves to anybody you don't know well, okay? Grizz, Yakamoto said. I go by Grizz for short. Grizz, Emily said. Interesting name. Where did that come from? Baseball, Grizz said. I used to play baseball back on Earth. Professionally, Bob piped up. Guess he's a baseball fan. Who knew? Yeah, Grizz said. For a while, anyway. Injuries kind of cut things short. And the Greater Ta made everything kind of suck back on Earth. Even baseball.
I didn't know you were a ball player, Bob said.
Yep, more than just a security guy,
Grizz said and chuckled a little. I was named for my grandmother, Davison said, interjecting.
Her name was Gardner? Hector asked. No, Davison said. Hannah. But she was a gardener. She was a little disappointed I went into construction, to be honest.
I'm not sure how... Never mind.
Everyone else looked a little confused as well. Well, Alibi broke the brief, awkward silence. Welcome to the both of you, Grizz and Gardner.
I prefer Davison, she said, if you guys don't mind.
Sure, not a problem, Davison, Alibi said.
We all have our quirks.
So this isn't a government council, it's a management council, Alibi said. You'll help me manage the base.
About that, I don't think we should call it a base anymore, Hector said. If we're not governing so as to be less of a threat, then why call our home a base and make it sound like a military outpost?
Because it was one once, Bob Bond offered. It's not like we're changing its name into a base. Besides, what would you call it, a station? That doesn't sound right. This is a small planetoid.
Just drop the base, Emily suggested. Everybody just calls it the Hornet's Nest anyway, don't they? If you need to call it something for short, why not the Nest? I bet we could get people saying that.
Yes, Krish agreed. I could hear that catching on.
Alibi looked around and saw general agreement. So, you'll help manage the Nest, Alibi said. Agreed?
Sounds good. Agreed. Sure. The answers came in chorus.
Great, Alibi smiled. Then he frowned as he remembered what he had to do next.
Much as I hate to say it, he said,
we need titles and second-in-commands. We need structure, hierarchy, things I've never been a fan of, but maybe we can do them better here.
Right, Emily said, only half sarcastic.
Right, Alibi said, my second-in-command.
What?
Emily seemed legitimately surprised. Nobody else was.
Obviously, said Krish, bringing the point home as the others nodded.
You'll be our chief financial officer and my second-in-command, Ms. Emily Brown.
Okay, she said, silenced a little by the shock.
Find a good second, Alibi said, and train them up. Deputy chief financial officer.
My choice? Emily asked.
You should make it subject to council approval, Hector said,
to set a precedent.
Emily looked a little taken aback, maybe even hurt. So Hector pressed on to explain.
We're all friends here, Emily, Hector said.
And personally? I won't be able to judge your choice better than you will. I know that just from knowing you. He paused.
Thank you, Emily said.
Hector jumped right back in.
But we need to set precedents for the future, too, right now, Hector said. For when this council isn't all friends with the best intentions. So the chief picks her deputy, subject to approval by the council. Seems like a good precedent.
Advise and consent, Bob Bond said.
What? Hector asked, quick on the pickup.
The council should advise and consent on it, Bob said. He nodded at Alibi. Then the director, or manager, or whatever you're called, should approve.
That sounds like a government appointment, Grizz said.
As Hector mentioned, it is important to set precedent, Bob said. Gives you something to lean back on later.
I like it, Alibi said, cutting off discussion.
He cleared his throat and tried to sound officious.
Deputy appointments will be by department heads, subject to council advice and consent, and the director's approval.
Sounds good, Emily said. So, what does everyone else get to do?
Krish will head up our science department, Alibi said. Chief scientist, because chief science officer sounds militaristic, right?
I suppose, Krish said. And, like Emily, you'll choose a deputy and bring them to us, Alibi said.
Yes, Krish said. I think I know who that will be, but I must give it some thought.
Grizz, you are head of security, Alibi said. Congratulations.
Cool, Grizz said. I mean, I kind of figured that, but I'm glad that's it. Thanks, Alibi. Good to be on your team.
Good to have you. Davison, you're head of physical plant and public works, Alibi told her. We need someone to keep the Hornet's Nest running smoothly. You up to the task?
I don't know, sir. I mean, Alibi, she said. I don't know about running things.
You run our construction crews now, Alibi pointed out. This isn't going to be that different.
Can I pick a deputy who can help me with that? Davison asked.
Sure, Alibi said. That's a great idea. It's good to have someone backing you up who has different skills they can apply.
Uh-huh, Davison said.
Wow, it's a little overwhelming, but thank you. Thank you, Alibi.
Bob, Alibi said, turning to Bob, I'd like you to run the landing bays. The Hornet's Nest Port Authority. You're in charge.
Do I have to? Bob cracked.
Whatever. What's my title?
Executive Director, Hornet's Nest Port Authority, Alibi said.
Did you just make that up? Bob asked.
The title? Alibi asked, with faux innocence.
Maybe.
He knew what he wanted you to do, Emily said.
And what do you want me to do, eh, Alibi? Hector asked.
We're down to me and Kit.
You are going to love this, Hector, Alibi said. Do you remember how we met?
Hector had to think a moment. Oh, yeah, collecting for Gentry. But that was just my penance for missing an appointment. I remember. You are my ambassador, Alibi said. Or trade representative, something like that. You can't be a diplomat because we're not a government, yet. Trade representative sounds good, Hector said. My guess is you'll be dealing with Gentry for the Solar Alliance, Alibi said. Better you than me. But isn't that what you used to do? Emily said. I don't want to have to talk to Gentry, Alibi said. Gotcha. Last but certainly not least, Kit. Thank you for being here.
You are welcome, Alibi. I would rather be here than under the heel of the Greater Ta on Dakur. Thank you for having me. What would you have me do?
Actually, both you and Bob were my hardest decisions, Alibi said. Because I know you could run the port too, Kit. And Bob could certainly head up our fleet.
Our fleet?
Kit asked. I want you to be in charge of our ships, Kit, Alibi said. The A.D. Foster for sure. Hector and Bob might want you to take charge of theirs, partially, to help free them up for their duties. I'd hoped Laurel Eden would be in on this. She was going to be a trade rep, too. I think she would have liked it. But there would have been her ship, too. And we're going to get more. We are? Hector asked. Oh, yeah, Alibi said. Whether we like it or not, we've got people moving in here more and more each day. We have to be able to protect them, or at least try to. So, Kit, I'll need you to research less expensive, small, flexible fighters we can use for protection. And let me know what other ships we might need.
Ooh, Admiral Kit, Chris said.
Please, no, Kit said.
Head of External Security, Alibi said. Grizz watches our insides, Kit watches our outsides.
I will begin researching possible defense ships immediately, Kit said.
And think about who'd make a good deputy for you, too, Alibi said. He turned to look at the rest of the group. All of you, be sure you're thinking about who'd make a good second. The group took Alibi's tone as a hopeful cue the meeting was nearly over and began shifting restlessly in their seats.
There's good energy here. They're excited by these ideas. Good.
Let's hope this doesn't kill it.
Okay, last thing, Alibi said. Meetings. Save the worst for last, eh? Hector said.
Hey, this one hasn't been too bad, has it? Alibi asked rhetorically. We'll hold an in-person council meeting like this once a month, first Tuesday of the month at 9 a.m. Nest Standard Time. Every other Tuesday at that time, we'll meet virtually and here, depending on where we all are.
Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Got it, Davison said, putting it in her schedule. And each of you, please reach out to me to set up a weekly one-on-one meeting time too, okay? Alibi said. I want us all to be touching base often. Doesn't have to wait until we're meeting. You got something? Tell me.
Sounds good, Grizz said. Open communication, I like it.
Davison, I want you and your crews to create a new government center, a suite of offices, one for each of us and our deputies, in one of the new corridors you're opening up. That will make us fall behind schedule on new residences, Davison worried. You're in charge now, Davison, Alibi said. If you need more people to do it, you can hire them. Emily cleared her throat. Well, after checking with the chief financial officer to be sure we have the budget for it, Alibi said. I'm sure you can hire them temporarily for additional people power now.
Okay, Davison said. I'm not used to that. This is all new to all of us, Alibi said. There's no way you could be used to it.
This is a lot to digest, Grizz said. Are we done for now? Because suddenly I feel like I have a shit ton of things to do.
Sure, main meeting is over, Alibi said. Davison and Grizz, you can go.
Thank you for joining the team.
A shit ton, Davison said. Never heard that expression before. She rose from the table as Grizz got up.
It's old-fashioned. My granddad used to say it a lot, Grizz said. Guess I picked it up from him. Been saying it so long I don't think about it.
He and Davison headed for the door.
I like it, Davison said.
Shit ton.
Works, huh? Grizz said. He laughed.
Well, now I feel like I have a shit ton to do, too, she said. as the two of them left the conference room.
That was Chapter 26 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. So Alibi was recording, huh? So yeah, up to a little bit of something here, and I guess you really want to find out what Alibi is up to. You're going to have to come back for our next episode in our next chapter of The Starseeds of Earth. We'll have a couple chapters on our next episode because we're about to run into a string of some shorter ones, so I got to figure out how I'm going to put them together for you. Just to recap my news, I've got a video coming out this coming Tuesday night. It's one of my Ancient Stone Mysteries video, and it's one of two videos that'll be premiering because Matt Adams and I have teamed up to bring you two new videos of some sites we explored in central Vermont back in the fall, back in November. So that'll be this Tuesday night, the Lunar New Year, February 1st at 8 and 8:30 p.m. You'll be able to see Matt's at 8 on his Nessie channel and mine at 8:30 p.m. on my Ancient Stone Mysteries and More video channel on YouTube. And that is all for this episode. Again, if you want to find out what's going on with Alibi, recording things, what he's up to, hope you'll be back next time around. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you once again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.